The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington today, ahead of his first official White House meeting with President Trump tomorrow. The Obama administration ended on frosty terms with Netanyahu when it allowed the UN Security Council to condemn construction of Israeli settlements in the West Bank. That prompted then-President-elect Trump to say that things will be different after January 20th. But will they? Let's bring in Daniel Kurtzer. He was U.S. ambassador to Israel during the George W. Bush administration. He's professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University, and he's also been critical of Donald Trump's pick for U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman. Ambassador, given the recent turmoil with Israel, can you put this week's visit into context?
Well, on the one hand, both Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu will have reason to demonstrate harmony and change. And so no matter what they talk about, they're going to come out of their meeting shaking hands and smiling. But it really covers over some turmoil that both of them are experiencing with respect to policy, personnel, and politics. You know, you have the Michael Flynn resignation and turmoil within the White House staff. And Netanyahu faces very severe cabinet coalition crisis back home, as well as uncertainty about what that's going to mean for his own political future, given the fact that he's under investigation for some financial issues.
Well, how will the Michael Flynn resignation affect the U.S.-Israel relationship?
Well, in the long term, it won't. But in the short term, the National Security Advisor is supposed to coordinate the U.S. side of this visit. In other words, put all the papers together, make sure the interagency process is working, get the president up to speed. And when the National Security Advisor walks out the day before an important visit, there's got to be chaos right now, just finding things. Where are the briefing books? Where are the talking points? So in the short term, it's really quite detrimental to the success of the visit. Over the long term, they'll fill in the space with somebody else who hopefully will do a more efficient job.
Well, before he got on his plane, Prime Minister Netanyahu told reporters that the alliance between Israel and the U.S. has always been, quote, extremely strong and is about to get even stronger. Let's listen.
President Trump and I see eye to eye on the dangers emanating from the region, but also on the opportunities. And we'll talk about both, as well as upgrading the relations between Israel and the United States in many, many fields.
Ambassador, you mentioned some of the pressures that Netanyahu is feeling at home. Could you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. He's got political pressure from his right. His is a right-wing coalition, and those members of the coalition were buoyed by Mr. Trump's victory, thinking that it gave them a green light to build more settlements and maybe even annex some of the territories that Israel has occupied since 1967. Netanyahu will want to curb that appetite, knowing that any actions like that could really upset the apple cart with Washington. He also has a legal issue in which he's being investigated for some very serious allegations of gift-taking and bribery and things like that. And in the past, we know that that has brought down previous Israeli leaders. Ehud Olmert is sitting in jail. So it's not easy for Netanyahu as he leaves home, and he certainly will want to demonstrate to his own population that the U.S. relationship is solid and sound and that he is the best person to oversee that relationship.
And there was also this apparent shift by the Trump administration recently because during the campaign, Trump had said that Israel should go ahead with those settlements that you mentioned. But then, of course, this month, we know that he told an Israeli paper that the settlements don't help the peace process. So that must have been a surprise to Netanyahu and to Israelis. But why do you think the president was shifting his position like that?
Well, Peter, there's two possibilities. One is that this is a concerted strategy to keep the prime minister a little bit off balance and to not have him perceive that there's a green light to do things that actually the president doesn't want him to do. The other possibility, which actually I believe, is that the administration is debating within itself what to do, and depending on the day, the president tweets out a policy or the White House puts out a statement, not necessarily all in concert with each other.
It's also interesting because you have to square that policy shift with his pick for the person to take your old job, David Friedman. The nominee to U.S. ambassador to Israel will go before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee later this week. He has also been a huge backer of settlements in the West Bank, and he has dismissed a two-state solution with Palestinians. So on the one hand, you have the president softening some of his tones on the settlements. On the other hand, his pick to be the ambassador says something different.
It's a very strange choice. You know, Mr. Friedman is obviously close to Mr. Trump, having served as his bankruptcy lawyer for a number of years. But it's not just a question of his not having experience. One can learn on the job. But Mr. Friedman has demonstrated some very radical views, and he has had some really nasty words to say for parts of the American Jewish community, calling supporters of J Street, for example, capos, the Jews who collaborated with the Nazis during the Holocaust. And I think Mr. Trump would be well advised to return Mr. Friedman to his role as a bankruptcy lawyer and pick somebody a little bit more moderate for a very challenging diplomatic assignment.
But doesn't it mirror some of the politics that are happening in Israel on the far right that are posing a challenge to Benjamin Netanyahu? And also, you know, the similar things we're seeing in the United States with the politics moving to the right.
Oh, I think that's right. But this is, you know, more than just a politics move. This is a diplomatic move. Very often the United States and Israel have had a political channel to the White House, whereas the formal diplomacy was kept separate from that. Putting Mr. Friedman into this role, which mixes and mashes together politics and diplomacy, is really a recipe for very serious problems.
Mm. Well, we also expect Iran to be a big part of this meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump. What do you expect there?
I think Iran will probably be number one on Mr. Netanyahu's agenda. You know, you recall he fought very hard against it, pushed the Congress to try to overturn the agreement after the president and the other members of the P5 plus one had negotiated it. I think Mr. Trump, although he campaigned on a promise of undoing the agreement, is probably rethinking that and probably thinking more about, how do I put pressure on Iran? And I think the two leaders in their meeting can actually find some meeting ground with respect to that kind of pressure, moving at the UN and other places to make sure that Iran understands that there will be consequences for aggressive action while holding their feet to the fire with zero tolerance for infractions with respect to the nuclear accord.
It makes you think, perhaps, that campaigning on the issue of Israel is quite different than the act of leading on the issue of Israel.
I think every candidate for a president has been far more aggressive and, I would say, pro-Israel than every president who's been elected. You take, for example, the question of settlements. One would have thought that Mr. Trump would have come in and immediately said settlements are fine, immediately moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But the reality of governing has convinced even him, at least for the time being, to go a little more slowly. And I think that's a lesson that he has assimilated very quickly, both on this issue and on several other issues.
Daniel Kurtzer, U.S. ambassador to Israel during the George W. Bush administration, also professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University. Ambassador, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.